Hello and welcome to another edition of Taskmaster Talks with Kevin Sullivan. I am your host, JP John Paz from the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. And of course, joining me, the star of the show, joining me here each and every week is the former United States champion over there in the NWA region of San Francisco, former WCW and ECW World Tag Team Champion. He is, of course, the Taskmaster, the Games Master, the devil himself, Mr. Kevin Sullivan. Kevin, how are you doing today, sir?
Great, JP. How are you doing?
Doing very good. So as far as the topic today, I want to talk a little bit about Arn Anderson's retirement. I know it happened all the way back in August 25th, 1997, on an episode of Nitro. But do you remember leading into the retirement? Because that was a pretty like monumental moment back then. It was just like, wow, can't believe Arn has to retire. And he's injured in his neck and obviously his hand. He had that issue from nerve damage. I mean, whew, what a awesome promo. But even before we get into that, what was it like backstage finding out beforehand that he was hurt?
Well, I was there when he got hurt. It was in Greensboro. It was with, of all people, the Rock and Roll Express. There's no better workers at the time. And he landed on his head. Arn and I at that time were traveling together quite a bit. And then I saw as he had a hard time lacing his boots, and his hands started to claw up. And it was really emotional for him, as it would have been for anybody. It was emotional for all of us. And then, you know, the retirement was done. But would we still be talking about Arn's retirement if the NWO didn't do that?
I don't know. It was such a damn good promo, and like the emotion and everything. It was crazy.
Because in this day and age, negativity, right?
Yes.
That was a positive interview. And this is a very sensitive subject with the Horsemen, and I understand it. But what better way to get heat than to pull the rug out after that promo? I mean, come on. That was, whoa. Here you have people crying because one of the greatest workers of all times didn't waste one bit of movement, made you look much better than you were. They weren't going to see the excellence that he had anymore. Then the NWO came out and put a dump of shit right on his retirement. Because, you know, that's what they would do. People's emotions.
And you got Flair crying in the ring, literally, when Arn cut that promo. I mean, it was real. I mean, you can't get much more real than that. I mean, what a damn moment. Just right. Very sad, but it was so profound. And everything Arn said meant something. And everything seemed so important. And you got Flair crying. I mean, oof, what a promo.
Yeah.
The NWO does their thing the next week, September 1st, 97, cuts their mock promo on Arn. Did you think when Arn was cutting that promo, like, and it's over and he gives Kurt Hennig the spot, did you already kind of think forward, like, okay, I want Hennig in the spot because he's going to turn heel? Or was that later on you thought about that?
Thought later on. Kurt was a great performer. And I think he's the only guy, and I'm not saying that he, as great as Kurt was, but I think Arn was a better all-around worker.
With Kurt Hennig, and you're about to put him in the Four Horsemen with Benoit, with Mongo, I guess Arn would kind of go into more of that like J.J. Dillon role where he's going to kind of be, I guess, not no longer the enforcer. He's really going to be the manager of the group. Hennig agrees to take his quote-unquote spot. It's such an interesting and such a memorable moment. I mean, you just can't forget it. It's just so great. I know replacing Arn is impossible, but at that point, did you think that Hennig really fit the Four Horsemen? No.
Yeah, because, first of all, him and Rick were very tight. And regardless of my feelings about Arn being a better worker, you have to replace a 350 hitter with a 340 hitter. And Hennig was right up there because Kurt was an amazing athlete.
Do you have any qualms or do you like the fact that this is real? He's really retiring on national TV.
He had them. couldn't work anymore.
But do you think it's okay bringing it onto TV, or should he just kind of fade it away?
He needed that, the people to understand how great he was. I've always said this. He was the one that came up with the Four Horsemen name. You can look at everybody that was around the Four Horsemen. The only two that were the constant were Rick and Iron. And if you watch the promos back then, who closed the promos for the Horsemen? Iron. He put the dot at the end of the sentence and made it real.
When Arn retires, and this is going on, I mean, what is the sense? Is everybody emotional backstage? What is everybody thinking when this is going on, and when he comes through the curtain after he makes that very emotional speech?
Everybody understood what he meant and what he gave to the wrestling business. I sometimes don't think that fans understand what people give to the wrestling business. Arn gave almost his life. He almost broke his neck and was paralyzed. I'm sure to this day he's in pain. So it was a standing ovation, and rightfully so. And there was a lot of red eyes, that's for sure.
Was he just absolutely crushed and devastated? I mean, wrestling is his life. He was such a great worker. He's such a, and, you know, he couldn't, his arm from the nerve damage in the neck, he could barely move his hand. Still has a little bit of that, like, crux in it.
Yeah, and from what I've heard, he had a hard time when he was in the hospital. I've listened to some of his podcasts, you know, that he was really despondent, and I can understand why.
It had to be just a rough time to go through that. And, man, Flair's hysterical crying, I mean, it was emotional to say the least. And that's why I loved Nitro and loved WCW, because you'd get the realism. It wasn't going to be cartoony. I mean, you were really going to have real stuff going on, a real situation. Is that important for Nitro and WCW?
Why do you think the ratings have fallen so drastically?
Well, it is way too cartoony. They don't have enough big stars. They kind of went away from good storylines.
There was no match. We expose the inner laying of the business. We got the people so down and so into their own thing. My God, the guy we hated for such a long time and learned to respect, and our respect turned to love. There was no match. And then the bullies came out. I leaned towards Nash, Hall, and Kid. You know that. I thought that was Kid's greatest, greatest interview of all times when he did Ric Flair. Tell me you weren't rolling on the floor.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
Was there a better interview ever?
It's so funny to go through the range of emotions, because I love watching them back to back, because Arn is so good and so powerful. Then you watch Six and Nash, you cannot stop laughing. I mean, it is like that total opposite ends of the spectrum, but it is so good both ways. It's so weird to say that because it's so opposite. But man, the NWO mocking him was so good. Nash obviously was Arn doing the, you know, that whole bit where he's fat and drunk and like saying all this other stuff. Six pretending he's Flair crying, then Mongo as Buff, you know, or Mongo was Conan, Buff is Hennig, being, you know, total like phony, just spot. Great stuff.
Yeah, my spot, not any spot, not a live spot, not a card spot. But if you look at that interview that they did, and Nash is my boy, we were tag team partners when he first started. Six was the most important thing in that interview. And Sean doesn't get the credit he deserves. He's in two groups and two Hall of Fames. And he was so intricate for the NWO. You know, when they used to do that thing with the camera, the hidden camera? That was his idea. He's a very smart guy. And I think that was, I hate to say it like this, but I think I'm right. The NWO interview was the greatest interview for heat I've ever seen. Because of this fact, Arn started out as a heel. Then, as time went on, people respected them, even though they booed them. And then, when the NWO came It was, well, the horseman can stop them. Well, the only constant besides Rick and that horseman just got shot. And we're really giving a eulogy to Arn, aren't we?
Yeah.
And then the NWO comes out. It got more heat because it really got heat in the back. And the one he did was, woo, I don't know why I keep doing woo, and hitting the ropes. I mean, he had Rick down.
And a fake crying and a fake tears, yeah. So is that true? What, did they okay with Arn in the back? I mean, Arn was okay with all that's going down, and no. Is that really Arn Anderson's cooler? Like, what's true and what's not true?
Well, supposedly that's Arn Anderson's cooler. I don't know who got it from, but that wasn't cool with Arn. He confronted Kevin that night. And Kevin said, hey, sorry. I mean, that wasn't no disrespect. Arn was shocked that they went that far, I think.
Because Arn was saying it gets to a point where it's like overkill. Then he's got to hear from his wife who's calling him. Then he's got to hear from his kids. Like, why do they make fun of you? Why did they say this? And his wife's like, man, they made you look like a fool. So it's one of those things where Arn's probably a little peeved. And then his wife said something that probably turned it up 100 degrees.
Let me ask you that. Is that heat?
Oh, that's heat. Believe me. Oh, my God. Yeah.
If people that know it's all prearranged and it gets to them, is that heat?
Big time heat.
Everybody did what they were supposed to do to the nth degree.
Did you think that that promo by the NWO, not better than the Arn promo, but did you think it got to the point where that's where you wanted the story to go? Like, they hit a home run, everything's headed in the right direction for the War Games?
They revived the Four Horsemen. Now the Horsemen had something to fight for. Besides WCW, we're going to win this one for Arn. I thought it was brilliant. And because of this, Arn doesn't get the credit for how this Nitro exploded. It was on Arn's back.
Great stuff, for sure. So let's head to the plugs. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at @2ManPowerTrip. Check out the website, tmptempire.com. And, of course, follow Kevin on Instagram at @TaskmasterTalks. And check out Pro Wrestling Tees, ProWrestlingTees.com. And hit up the Kevin Sullivan store for a couple of great T-shirt designs. Kevin, you got anything else going on?
Yeah, this Saturday I'm going to be in Fort Wayne, Indiana, the Legends Convention, and I want to give a plug to a friend of mine. They wrote a book. I mentioned it to you. It's called Old School. And the only thing I can compare it to is The Sopranos Meet Wrestling. So it's on Amazon.com. So if anybody wants to read it, really interesting book. It's really good.
Nice.
And you'll, the characters, I can tell you, you'll recognize who they're supposed to be.
Good stuff. Definitely check that out, everyone out there. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We'll see you right back here next week for a little Taskmaster Talks with Kevin Sullivan. See you next week, folks.
It's a pleasure to hold the microphone, Mr. Anderson, up for you on this occasion.
Well, Gene, all I can tell you, to get a response like this means what I got to say tonight mean that much more. You see, I'm a realist. And everybody knows I've got average size and speed and average ability, but I've parlayed that into what I would call a very successful career. And I did that on sheer will alone. But another reality is, 4 months ago, they took 4 vertebrae out of my neck. Consequently, I'm left with a hand, my left hand, too weak to hold a glass, too weak to button a button. But I thought in my mind, I knew in my mind I could overcome that too, through sheer will. And I was doing just like that. I think I've come back a long way. But the other day I had something happen in the gym that was like a cold slap in the face of reality. A guy about your size, Gene, came up and he slapped me on the back and he said, "Double A, where you been? We hadn't seen you on TV." And just that slap sent a jolt through me. And I dropped the water I was drinking. And just for a second, my system shut down, and it became crystal clear as I watched the few little drops of water draining out of that bottle, the symbolism that was involved. It was like someone had turned an hourglass over and the sand was running out on the career of Arn Anderson. Now, the fact of the matter is, not only do I put myself in a suicide situation by trying to wrestle again, I endanger these two men's careers, and I respect them too much for that. And other than be anything than the enforcer, in my best friend's eyes, I'd rather walk away. And for all you people out there that have ever bought a ticket to see Arn Anderson wrestle, whether you love me or you hated me, you knew that when that bell rang, you got all I had that night. Whether I won, whether I lost, I gave you everything I had. And you knew that. And when you did this to me, that was your acknowledgement. Well, the fact is, I got nothing left to give. And I want you to remember me as I was, not as I am. But being the man that I am, my last act, formerly as a horseman, I got one last challenge. And that's to you, Curt Hennig. Now, don't misunderstand me. It's not for a fight. You got something special. I've seen you in this ring. Your skills, your maturity, your commitment to excellence makes you something special. And what my challenge is to you, Curt, is stand beside my best friend, Ric Flair, and lead these two men back to the glory and the prominence that the Four Horsemen once had. And I'm going to tell you what your prize is. It's not a spot with the horsemen, because this is worth a lot more than that to me. I'm going to give you the only thing I got left. Not a spot, not a spot. I'll give you my spot.